Welcome back, everyone. It's been a long week, hasn't it, Matt, since last week, really? It feels like about 3 weeks have passed since the last podcast we've done, but a lot's happened in the world of golf. We've had the European Tour event that's strung out into a Monday. We've had what seems like a massive change in the weather in this country as well. And you've had your first win of the winter already. But we'll get into that as we go through the podcast. But firstly, Matt, how the heck are you?
I am terrific.
Really? That good?
That good. Yeah. That good. I'm still fresh off yesterday, so
So I've alluded to that already, but we'll jump straight in.
Yeah,
didn't you? In the first winter four ball.
Yep. So it's a series of events, right? The Felixstowe run. It's a pretty good day. You get a bacon roll, 18 holes, a mega fish and chips after. They ask you to enter as a four, and then you just play better ball pairs. And yeah, it's normally just, you know, it's just a good day out. It's a nice way because it's
linked to course. Cost you?
50 quid to enter.
Okay, cool. What, pair or each?
No, each.
Right, cool.
But that represents extremely good value for money,
yeah,
right?
Course, because really. Yeah, it's really good.
I think it's a 70, 75 quid green fee golf course that time of year. The fish and chips is probably worth about 15 quid. I've done them for the last 2 years. They pretty much do one on the first Tuesday, give or take, if they haven't got anything else in the diary. Pretty much first Tuesday every month from October to March, and they do two in March. They do one at the end. So it's a nice, you know, five or six events where, you know, you can play golf, and even if it's raining, your feet are not getting covered in mud. Golf course is nice. Food's great. It's just a nice day. It gives you something to look forward to. So the scoring is normally relatively good in these events. I'm not going to lie. It's for better ball, I think it's 85% of your playing. I know you're going to hate this. 85% of your shots on the day.
Get your maths degree.
Yeah, well, no. So they work it all out. They work it all out for you. But basically, my index was 3.7. I would have got four shots off the blacks. But with the 85%, I got three shots. So normally, like, I think par for the course would normally be about 40 points better ball. The thing that's worth remembering at Felixstowe is the wind is going to, it's always going to be relatively windy because it is right on the beach, and there's four par fives, one, two, three, four par fives. And if you get five shots on the course, you get a shot on three of the four par fives, which I think is quite rare. But it does give you a good opportunity to score. Now, what I would say, if it's windy there, the wind is normally fair, so you get an equal amount of holes into wind and downwind.
But anyway, we just
played solid. We got off to a perfect start yesterday. My partner birdied the first. Then went on and birdied the fourth, and then we just didn't drop another shot.
Say, Matt, if you can't play, find someone else who can.
Yeah, no, we just had one of them days where between us, we just, I know it's like the old sound, we just dovetailed really, really well, but we did. We managed 23 points on the front, and then I made a double on 11. And he made a bogey, so that was a 1 point hole. But then I then birdied three holes in a row, which
is something like, that's the first time you've ever done that, yeah?
First time I've ever had three birdies in a row. I mean, I've had five birdies in a round, I think, but not three in a row. And also, especially on, it was a par three, par four, par four. So the first par four, the second birdie, I actually drove the green. It's like 335 yards, kind of bounce between a couple of fairway bunkers that are just short of the green, and that rolled up onto the green while the group in front was still putting out. But ironically, in front of me was Sam, my coach.
Oh yeah.
So they've obviously looked round and just kind of give us a wave. I'm waving back on a tee, thinking, you know, he's probably just proud of his student knocking it on the green in one. Nearly hold that for eagle, and then, you know, I was just hitting the ball miles yesterday. I think I had three tee shots over 330 yards.
Nice.
The wind helps. And yeah, so we had.
If you've got a golf course that's remained relatively firm, I suppose it's good as well. I mean, yeah. I cannot tell you how different it is up here. Literally, I went out, did some filming with Tom on the golf course today, and it's literally turned into a different golf course in 2 weeks.
Really?
It's so long. And yeah, it's just ridiculous.
We've not had that yet. We've not had that yet. Because it was 25 degrees yesterday. Shorts and T-shirt by the sea. 25 yeah, degrees.
Crazy. Still got decent temperature. And over the weekend, it was, you know, it was 20-odd degrees, I think, over the weekend up here. But we've had a few days where it's really rained quite a lot.
Okay.
And then, obviously, up here, it doesn't, you know, on the coast, it's much sandier, isn't it? So it yeah. just soaks in a bit. But
yeah. Here, well, we've had...
looks very different.
Yeah, we've had the rain today, so... So anyway, typically after making three birdies in a row, I then hit a tee shot out of bounds right.
Obviously.
But I chucked a provisional down, and this hole's 380 yards. And I hit three off the tee to the point where I was two-putting. I two-putted from about 10 yards short of the green for a five. And then you turn and it's a tough finish. And we got in the house and we had 24 points on the back for 47 points bettable. And I did joke that was the sort of score that I'd normally roll my eyes at if I had 43, 44, 45 points.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at that thinking, yeah, it's not going to be enough because you know someone's going to come in with a little bit more. And yeah, it just so happened that after, what, probably 10, 12 times of trying on these events with different partners. Big shout out to Reevee.
Found the magic formula.
Yeah, found the magic formula, got the job done. We was
really didn't play with our man Matt Lockwood, no?
No, he was in the group in front, funnily enough. So he was playing, so Sam was playing with his dad and his brother partnered with Matt Lockwood.
Right, okay.
So yeah, so I saw Matt yesterday. They didn't do too well. But yeah, it's good, you know, good, really good day. But we were the fourth group out, so we had a long wait to find out if we'd actually won or not. And yeah. got a text off the club, kindly sent me a screenshot of the result at about 10 past 5 last night. So we get a nice £100 voucher each for the
very good
pro shop as well, which is
that'll start the winter off nicely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good, well done, Pop.
So yeah, well, and that
tell us a bit about the weekend then, because you played then as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. So I've had a really decent 4 days on the golf course, to be honest. I went and had a game on Friday afternoon because the weather was nice and I thought I can't not go and play some golf. Shot 7 over that day with a double on the 17th, so that was a bit disappointing. Then went out Saturday in the Stableford, lost that on count back, had 39 points. Shot 1 over on the back 9. So I shot 2 over in the Stableford, which I was really happy with. So I should pick up a few quid for that. Because we have a prize for lowest gross, which I won. Also got a 2 and second in the main comp. So yeah, I should pick up a...
Raking the money in, Matt.
Yeah, raking it at the moment. And then it was the world famous Pinder Trophy on Sunday. So
yes,
this is a format. So this is weird for me, right? Because I know I spoke about this before, but when you're playing a match,
it's bogey.
Yeah, it's a bogey comp, right? So for people that don't know, you basically play a match against the golf course. So to convert it into Stableford wise, if you had 2 points on a hole, that's a half. If you had 1 point, you lose the hole. If you have 3 points, you win the hole. The first thing that I find weird is being a bogey comp, right? It does go, I would expect it to be a non-qualifier for your handicap. So, for example, if I'm playing the par 5 first at Stowmarket, if I'm not on the green in 5 shots, I could pick that ball up because I've lost the hole and move on to the second. But that would go down as a 7 for my handicap, whereas I could putt out and get 6 for 1 in theory. I'm still lost the hole, but it's a shot better for my handicap. So that was the first thing that I found quite strange, especially as I did actually make a really terrible double up the first, which is not something I do very often. But you're playing a match against the golf course. The golf course doesn't miss fairways. The golf course doesn't miss greens. And the golf course doesn't give you 3-foot putts. The golf course doesn't miss putts. It's I've always found it's a format that a kind of good maybe mid-range handicapper, like anything between like a 12 and a 15, sorry, 10 and maybe 15, is a good shout for these sort of things. But look, I was I made 3 bogeys on the front nine at 7, 8, and 9, so I was 3 down at the turn, but I managed to come back in level par, so I lost to the course 1 down, which ultimately was respectable for me. I was only getting 4 shots because I'd got cut the day before. And 2 up 1, which I was quite shocked at. So I managed to get a scrape a top 10 out of that. With level par back, my 1 down was the best 1 down. So I was happy with how I played, and especially on the back nine. I was, 1 birdie, 1 bogey on the back. It was solid golf. I was just hitting it nice. And obviously took that into yesterday's event and carried it on. So it's nice way to kind of play this weekend with it being the last bit of the sun, because we have had a lot of rain today here. I put 3 counters on in the last 3 rounds. Yesterday didn't go on to my handicap, which is a shame. It's just kind of, for me, it's like a nice way to finish what feels like the end of the season proper now.
It certainly feels like that for me, and not only from a golfing perspective, but business wise as well. It just seems so quiet now at the golf club during the week, and you get to about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's just dead because no one's coming up now to play in the evenings because it's dark. And yeah, it really does feel like it's kind of drawing in a little bit. And obviously, the clocks are going to change later on this month as well, aren't they? Which kind of knocks that on the head a little bit more. You can probably tee off for 9 holes at about 2-3 o'clock, and that's your lot, isn't it, really? It seems like a long winter, really, at times as a retailer particularly, but it's kind of the season where we start doing a few more lessons, and we'll get on to kind of winter golf and kind of what your plans are for that a little bit later in the pod. But it really does, for those of you listening from different countries around the world, in Britain, this time of year, it really just feels like someone's just taken the batteries out of golf, doesn't it? Really just kind of everything slows down, and it's a little bit, well, there's just a stark contrast between even 2 weeks ago, isn't there? Like I said, at the golf course, or the golf courses, should I say, around us, they've literally done all their green maintenance, probably.
Sorry, that was my phone going off. Sorry. I put that on silent.
At this time of night.
Yeah.
All the golf courses around here seem to have done greens maintenance. So they've sort of spiked and sanded all the greens within the last week and a half. And, it needs doing, absolutely, this time of year. But it kind of, curbs my enthusiasm even more for going out and play. I make no secret about it. I absolutely hate winter golf. I just think it's the most pointless waste of time ever, going out on the golf course and playing in not only bad weather, but golf courses that aren't really up to scratch. Don't get me wrong, I will go abroad in the winter and play no problem at all, but you just want to play a course that's in decent condition and you're not playing off a mat and you're not having to wear 5 layers and a bobble hat to play. That's just my opinion. But obviously, Matt, you're just mad for it, aren't you? You're just playing anything.
I think it gives me more maybe than what it does give you. I don't think I'd cope mentally if I wasn't playing golf.
Winter, I'll keep practicing, I'll keep hitting balls, and I'll be sort of in the performance center at Howley working on my game. Do you know what I mean? I will not just lock my clubs away for 4 months. I'll keep grinding away and working on my game, but playing, I just find it pointless because it's not, I'm not learning anything from it and I'm not enjoying it. So I just don't bother. And like I say, unless I'm going Scotland or some sort of linksy kind of venue would be my exception, I suppose, in the winter where you can actually play proper golf. And yes, the weather's going to be a little bit different and probably a little bit tricky, but you're still getting some run on the ball. You can still hit putts on decent greens and stuff like that, where you just, most of the courses now you're not going to be able to for probably 4 months.
I think you need a bit of Southeast East Anglia in your life, because the courses at the moment still here are as good as they've probably played all summer. And I know it will turn, it will turn up, but I'm looking at the weather forecast. Like we're expecting some rain. We've had some rain today. We're expecting a bit tomorrow, but the temperature is going to drop. Granted, it's not going to be 25 degrees. That was a nice way to finish yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 8 or 9 degrees over the weekend here.
So, yeah. But I'm looking at it. We've got sunny all day Saturday, sunny all day Sunday, sunny all day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Like, right into next week, Thursday, Friday. So at the moment, we're going to have a bit of rain tomorrow. The temperature is still going to be 20 degrees on Friday, but I won't play this weekend, but it will be warm where I'm off to on Monday.
Yeah, you're going to La Manga, aren't you? Yeah,
I am off to La Manga. Yeah. Yes, no, I'm very much looking forward to that. The weather looks it's going to rain on Monday and Tuesday at the moment.
Is it right? Okay.
It'll be all right. It's I'm off on a golf shake trip.
With Cobra Golf, isn't it?
Yes. Cobra, yeah, to look at
see all of 2024's hardware products. I have seen some of, not everything at the minute in the flesh. I've definitely seen pictures of everything, but not actually had it in my hands and hit it. It looks awesome. Obviously something we can't talk to you about because embargoes and non-disclosure agreements that we have to sign at this time of year for everything. Although we're just talking before we started the podcast, some of this I find absolutely pointless because we had to sign something about the new Odyssey putter series that's just about, well, it's going to come out in some of it's November, some of it's early part of 2024. Had to sign a non-disclosure agreement saying we wouldn't say anything until the embargo date, which I think is the 3rd of November. And literally Golf WRX and other people have sticking it on their Instagram already. So it just seems an absolute waste of everybody's time that you have to do that. But yeah. So yeah, expect to see all Cobra's products leaked everywhere next week.
Well, not by me, they won't be.
No, they won't, absolutely, because we play the game, Matt. But yeah, there's some pillocks out there that just do what they want, and just makes it just looks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good. It's a nice thing for me to be able to do, and also to be able to get, one, a bit of sun on your back still, and two, to, see some people in the industry that I've known for a good few years. And also to get to hit and play the golf course. And I'm not going to lie, La Manga's a little bit of a bucket list for me. I've always wanted to go.
It's somewhere I'd like to play. I mean, I kind of know it more from the fact that it seems to be where football teams seem to go and stay for a week.
Yeah.
Have a bit of a jolly out in pre-season or during the summer break and stuff like that. It's not somewhere that I've seen. I don't know anything about the golf courses, but yeah, I just know that it's renowned as being very, very good. So I'm no doubt that you're going to have an absolutely awesome time while you're out there, and obviously get to see some of next year's Cobra kit, as well as speak to some of the R&D guys. I know Jose Miraflor, which we've had on, we've spoken to him. We've interviewed him on our YouTube channel before, and he's always very, very accommodating and very kind to us whenever we see him at the Orlando show. We spoke to him. I met him in London when Cobra did an event for, it was when they were releasing F9 actually. So, we went down there to Greenwich, to the range there that looks out over like the financial district into across there and into Greenwich and stuff.
Yeah. So those guys will be there and they're, I tell you what I love, and it's not a Cobra thing. I love anybody that can get so passionate or show so much passion towards any kind of product or brand. And obviously, what these guys are going to show us next week, they've been working on and know about for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're already looking at products that are going to release in 2025 and 2026. Yeah. You know what I mean? And almost they've kind of, not forgotten about this, but kind of it's something that they did ages ago.
Yeah. But and for them to have to sit on that excitement and that passion that they want to scream about this product to people and they're not allowed to, and then it's almost like you just let the valve off, and it's
exactly. And a lot of criticism is thrown at golf brands for the whole marketing machine that they have, and they have to do that because they're trying to sell the product. But try telling that to these guys that literally put their heart and soul into getting you one extra yard out of stuff, because they literally do this all day, every day, and it's their life basically. And yes, there's lots of marketing in golf and lots of hype and spin and lots of stuff that, you know, maybe isn't as true as it claims to be. But yeah, these men and women that work in the R&D departments, you know, most of them have got PhDs, and most of them are like aeronautical engineers, bloody space engineers. And it's absolutely crazy what golf companies are doing now just to get a golf club in your hands that will either make you go 2 yards straighter and 3 yards further or whatever. It's bonkers how much money they spend as well. And like I say, yes, the marketing budgets are massive too, but also the product's got to perform. And if it doesn't, let me tell you, it gets found out very quickly. Such is the level of testing that is done on, you know, the likes of what we do on YouTube, but there's hundreds of people out there doing similar stuff. And if a product's rubbish, it'll get found out very, very quickly. So their heads are on the chopping block all the time when new stuff is coming out. And I'm pretty confident with a brand as massive as Cobra that you are not going to see any dud product. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, to be fair, Aerojet's going to take some beating because it's brilliant.
They will hate me for saying this, but I definitely preferred the look and the sound that I got off the LTDX driver.
Right.
The Freewood Aerojet is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I've got the Freewood myself, and it is literally amazing.
Yeah. And to the point where I really liked the LTDX fairway wood, and I didn't think that would get beat. To the point, I'm almost kind of more excited about, I know that the drivers are sexy, right? That's what they market, and that's what they want people to go and buy. Yeah. But I'm almost more excited to hit the next Freewood than what I am as well.
For me, they've kind of this year with the releases that they did with the King Tour stuff. So obviously they've got MBCB, they've got the new Forge Tech, and then they've got the Forge Tour, haven't they? So those irons are amazing, and they're not going to change, but there's obviously going to be a replacement for Aerojet. I wouldn't be surprised if potentially one length disappears. I don't know. It might do because of a certain person. It might not. I might be talking rubbish. But I don't actually know any of this. But I do know what the new product's called. And it does look really cool because I've seen some pictures of it. For me, I'd be interested in wedges and putters because I think that's a category that they can massively improve on. I think wedges are good, but I think they could be really, really good.
So what I know, the snake bite wedges, the 58 degree, I think, and the 60 degree, they changed something with the grooves last time in a model that I don't have. I don't have the most current model, but I know the feedback was there was a lot of spin with the wedges when the ball or the grass or the face of the club was wet.
Yep.
No, they changed that and massively improved that. But I use the Cobra, one of the 3D printed putters, and I'll be honest, it's the one thing, and I do putt well, and people are always interested in having a look and having a go. And what putt is that? What? Let's have a go at your putt. Let's have a go at your putt. But, you know, holding putts for fun, and then people want to have a go, don't they? But the range of putters is, I think, probably a little bit underrated, but it is a tough market to crack, right? When you've got.
It is, I mean, the whole 3D printing story is fantastic. I personally think they're going to carry that on. I think they're going to change some stuff about it, but probably have a new range. And I think for me, they're missing something a bit more premium and more milled. I think something like that would kind of also add a bit of a string to their bow, something that looks a bit more traditional when you sit it down, because I think they currently don't have a product for that person who likes traditional looking putters, but they do in the irons, don't they? Do you know what I mean? Their irons look amazing, the wedges look good, but like I say, I think they could make them look slightly better. And the putters, if I was you see it on tour, there's not many people using their putters on tour, are there?
No.
Because they just don't look that great. But there is a technological story there, and there is a reason why you would use 3D printed, absolutely.
Well, not just that, but the one thing that people don't recognise or don't know about the Cobra putters at the moment is they've got the sick face technology.
Yeah, I mean, that is great. So that's basically the is it called DLT, descending loft technology?
Yes.
So it basically it's more lofted at the bottom of the golf club and less lofted at the top, isn't it? Yeah. So if you catch it higher up the face, it's kind of maintaining the roll characteristics you would get. And similarly, if you kind of thin it, it's,
yes,
instead of it launching it higher, it kind of gets it.
I think, the easiest way for me to describe it, and especially this time of year, I think it gets the ball on the ground rolling a lot quicker. If you watch someone's putter over on one of these like really slow, really like super slow mo camera things, like you actually for the first X amount of inches, the ball's in the air, right? Because there's loft on a putter face, so the ball goes up in the air. What I found with the Cobra putter and the Sick Face technology is that the ball is on the ground quicker and rolling quicker. Therefore, for me, over longer putts, I have a much better distance control. And like you say, if I don't quite catch it fully, like dead center on the putter face, I don't find I'm losing a lot of distance or a lot of control with longer putts. And that's what it does for me. Lag putting's crucial.
It is massively, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's, when we get, I know you're going to La Manga, but at the end of this month, I'm lucky enough, I'm going to the States, to Dallas, to do something similar with Odyssey. So this putter range that we can't talk about, that everyone's tweeting about, that Rahm's been used it at the Ryder Cup, and Sam Burns has been using for a little while as well, is going to be coming to market early in November. And again, the story about that is on kind of lag putting and off center hits, and when you don't hit putts great, that it's still maintaining the speed and getting it in and around the hole to obviously get it closer so that you can hole out. So, because obviously statistically, the closer you get it to the hole, the more you're going to hole from that distance. So there's lots of really good technology coming. To be honest, I think we've spoken about that in such a way that we've kind of described what we want to see, but without actually talking about the product, which is probably a good way of doing it. But yeah, as soon as we can tell you about these things and these embargoes lift and we're allowed to actually tell you what they're called and things, we absolutely will. You'll get it straight away. So not only in the form of obviously the podcast that you listen to right now, but in the videos that we do on the YouTube channel, in the articles that we put on the website, everything, all of our social media will be full of it as well. And, the brands are very, very good with us in terms of sending us testing product and kind of giving us press releases and giving us all the information that we can pass on to you. So, yeah, keep your eyes and ears peeled and you'll be seeing lots and lots of new stuff from all the biggest and best names in golf very, very soon. So that's your trip. Let's talk a little bit about winter golf, because we've kind of alluded to what we're kind of coming into right now. What do you kind of focus on then, Matt, when you're going into the winter? Is there an area of your game? Do you practice loads on the range? Do you still hit balls off the grass? Do you play loads of golf? What, say if there was a percentage of range, hitting off grass and playing golf, what would kind of the shift be from summer to winter now?
So once the clocks change for me, right, it's quite a dramatic turn where I go from maybe playing three or four times a week to playing maybe three or four times a month. Because for as much golf as I play, I actually only play every other weekend. I play Saturday and Sunday every other weekend. And then I just pack out my days through the week with as much as I can. So what will happen is I will transition into a range rat.
Yeah.
And it's not so much because I am working on something every time, I just enjoy hitting golf balls. So if I can't play, I will quite happily go to the range and have a bucket of 60, bucket of 90, two or three times a week. Yeah. It means that I can still work on certain things. It means that I can, have a bit of fun. You meet your friends down the range and, make a bit of an evening out of it. But more importantly for me is it's just I have to keep swinging, because if I don't swing and I'm going, I couldn't go 2 weeks without swinging a golf club. So if I were to, when I went to play on the Saturday, I would feel like I'm just starting from scratch sometimes. So it does a lot for me. I will focus a lot as well on you know, fitness through the winter, which I think is quite a it's definitely one where I don't think many people take as seriously as they should. Things like stretching, yoga, a little bit of weight loss. You know, I think it's good for your mental health as well. So that's pretty much where I go to in the winter. Our putting green's got a light on, a floodlight, which you can press and you can get 30 minutes of light.
Okay.
So if I feel the need to get on the putting green and do some chipping and putting in next to darkness, I can do that as well. But it's not something that I rush to. I mean, the short game for me is the first thing that goes in the winter because I just don't practice it. But I will try and, you know, yeah, I'll have lessons through the winter, probably more so than what I do through the summer. Because I feel like if you're going to work on things, you have to hit balls. I don't understand when people have a lesson and then kind of don't pick up a golf club for a week, 10 days.
To be honest, it frustrates me as a coach when people do that. So they'll come for a lesson and then they'll come again and they'll book 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, what I
say to them as well all the time is, you know, the first question is, well, when should I book my next one? And I always say, well, I want you to play twice and practice twice at least between the next time I see you.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's 2 weeks. For some people, that's a month. For some people, it's longer than that. And I would rather you get more out of the lesson than you just come exactly as you left the previous one. Do you know what I mean? You literally don't hit a single ball. I mean, you're just wasting your time, but you're wasting mine as well because basically it's going to be the same lesson again, isn't it? So you're just trying to get them to do the same thing that you were doing, and it's almost like supervised practice, really. I'm watching them do the practice session they should have done between seeing me this time and last time. So
yeah,
difficult. But you know, in my own game, I will keep hitting balls through the winter. I'll play as much as I feel like I want to, really. Like I say, I'm not going to rush out on the golf course and hit off mats and you know, play to temporary greens and things like that. That's just not me. But what I will do is, you know, I'll go for a game of golf with my mates on a links course where you're going to play proper golf in inverted commas, or maybe go away somewhere where the weather's a little bit nicer and a bit more guaranteed to be good and play some good golf courses. But yeah, I guess similar to you, where I would hit lots of shots, certainly indoors in the performance center. I'll hit thousands and thousands of balls this winter, definitely. Don't really go to the range a lot. So there is a range quite close to me, which I may go to in the winter a little bit. But generally I'll be doing a bit of work at the club. Green, I mean, trying to find a decent green around here is difficult. I've got the indoor putting green at Howley, which I'll use a bit. I've also, controversially, had a little putting green put in my back garden. I say controversially because it's my wife has sort of brought the controversy, because we just had a bit of work done in our garden, a bit of like landscaping and a patio, and I've got a shed and all that kind of stuff. And we had a little space sort of next to this massive planter that we've had done outside, and it's about 14 feet and about, I don't know, a metre and a half wide. And I had an offcut left of the indoor putting green from Howley. And I just kind of said to the landscaper guy, could you put this in for me?
Genius.
Without really telling my wife. And then kind of got my little girl on board with it. She's six, just started playing golf and absolutely loves it. And I said, would you like a putting green in the back garden? Yes. I said, well, go tell mummy then.
Brilliant.
So she's come inside, told Mrs. Rastall that we're having a putting green. And yeah, the rest is history. So we've got this little, like I say, it's about, you know, there's a hole at each end. It's about a meter wide and probably 14 feet long. So, and there's a slight slope in it. So downhill is absolutely rapid from one end, and then you're hitting a little uphiller. But this turf I've got, well, I say turf, it's obviously artificial turf, but on a flat surface, the green that we have at Howley inside stimps at 11. So downhill, it's absolutely lightning. And then uphill, it's probably about 9.5 to 10. So yeah, it's pretty good. So we had a bit of a first put on that the other night, which I think that's going to get some use during the winter. So I actually bought some glow in the dark golf balls and some glow sticks as well, and put them out there the other night. And me and the kids went out with the I had some glow stick glasses on, and yeah, it was class.
Perfect.
So yeah, I'm probably going to do a bit of putting at home this winter. So hopefully my putting will be good by the time.
I was just sitting here thinking, you know, like about the course and about what you say about, I mean, we're quite lucky at Stone Market. We don't go to temporary greens. A lot of our greens, so we are having new irrigation system fitted at the moment. Ironically, we signed that off on one of the wettest summers that we've had. But we go to mats on the par threes. That's all there's. We've got some nice, I say nice, they're not amazing, but they're better than some mats that I've played off. Just on the par three tees, that's all we have. So we teed off at the same spot all winter on the par threes. But, you know, I'm hopeful this year because we've not had, so like last year the course got a bit, not muddy, but yeah, no, I suppose muddy. But not muddy because it was like a bog. Muddy because it was so dry the year before, the water rails had nowhere to go. Whereas I'm hoping this year, where the course is so green and lush, and it has been all summer, I'm hoping that that kind of means that we might not go too muddy in the winter, and it might, the grass might soak up a load of water. Hopeful that it's not going to be a terrible winter this year, but yeah, I suppose, you know, if you've got a simulator, you've got no reason to want to go out in the cold. I don't kind of don't blame you.
Absolutely not. You know, and we will be sort of marketing and offering packages to members as well to book the room out and play courses or practice or whatever they want to do this winter as well. And it's the great thing about having the TrackMan system that we do, and the kind of not only the sort of TrackMan capabilities of being able to look at your swing and all your data and stuff, but also the simulator kind of package that we have there as well, where you can play hundreds of different golf courses around the world and get accurate data and work on your game that way. So yeah, it's really, really good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I mean, winter, like I say, is a time that doesn't really excite me from a golfing perspective, but it's definitely, you know, I'm not going to hang the clubs up. I'm going to keep practicing and hopefully.
Well, you've just got shiny new clubs, right?
Say that again.
Shiny new clubs.
Absolutely. So this is something else I was going to talk about. So those of you that follow us on social media, either Golf Shake or myself, know that we went to the Belfry 2 weeks ago. We were fitted for the new Callaway Apex range. My clubs came this week, so I've got a combination of Apex, MB, and I've got the Apex Pro in a 3-iron. So I've gone that in 3-iron and then 4 down to 11-iron in the Apex MB. Yes, there is an 11-iron. So instead of a pitching wedge, they have a 10-iron, and instead of a gap wedge, 11-iron. Okay, so all the way to 50 degrees in that. And then my 54 and 58, like I've had for a while in the Jaws Raw. So I'm playing my first round of golf with them tomorrow. I've hit a couple of shots in the performance center, but also I'm talking, I've probably hit 100 shots maybe with the irons, different shots and stuff. And then I've played, well, I say played, we filmed some stuff today, me and Tom out on the golf course, and I probably hit about 8 iron shots out there, actually outside looking at them. And yeah, I quite like them. I mean, they're going to take some getting used to, and the yardages are a little bit different. They're not very forgiving, so you can't miss the middle of the face. So that's something that's going to really focus me. But then the 3-iron, the Apex Pro 3-iron, I mean, we've done a video, me and Tom, today where I've hit it on one of the par fives at Howley. And bearing in mind, like I've just been saying about the course playing long and it being a bit wet, I hit 3-iron, 6-iron into a par five today. This 3-iron went 260 something in the wet.
Is this like a proper driving iron?
No, it's just
a 3-iron in the
3-iron. It's, I think it's 20 degrees. So it's not really strong or anything like that. It's just got the same shaft in that I've got in my irons, which is Dynamic Gold X100 tour issue. And yeah, for some reason, I hit a couple with it inside and thought, Jesus, that seems to be coming off quick. And then out on the golf course, I've just hit this 3-iron that's just come off like a rocket. And like I say, we got down there and measured it, and it was 263 or something like that on one of the par fives. So then I had about 185 or something. So it was like a perfect 6-iron straight into the green. And I even, because I missed the green by about 2 foot, chipped it to about a foot, and then I hold my little birdie putt with the 3-iron as well. so yeah,
nice.
Used it twice. But yeah, I'm quite hopeful. I quite like them. And they do take a bit of getting used to. I mean, there's people I fit for clubs, and I said this on the video when we're filming it today, that expect to literally get their brand new driver or set of irons, go out the first time and shoot the best score they've ever shot. That's not really how this game works. And I certainly find that it takes me probably 2 months to get used to a set of clubs.
Yeah, I'd agree. Even though you've been custom fit, I think that's the kind of the misconception is, oh, I've been custom fit, so I should be able to just go out and play with these straight away. And, you know, some people can, but, you know, it all depends on, you know, I suppose how much you've played, how long you've had your current set of irons for. It'll be worth it.
Yeah, it will. I mean, they feel completely different. The ball flight's completely different. Like I say, they're not as forgiving. They're much easier to shape, though. I've found that when I've sort of hit cuts and draws with them, they're much easier to do that with. But yeah, they just feel completely different. The shafts are not the same ones that I've used for absolutely years. I've always had Project X shafts, so these are new to me as well. So the weight of them and the kind of kick point in them feels different, as well as, like I say, the brand new irons I always find feel quite hard off the face as well, and they kind of take a little bit of breaking in almost to sort of get the feel in them, and I've not got to that point yet because I've not hit anywhere near enough shots with them, but I'm fairly hopeful that we will do. But the acid test is tomorrow, so I've got, like I say, I've got a tournament tomorrow, probably the last pro-am I'm going to play in this season, really. We've got some kind of PGA, Texas scrambles and better balls and things like that coming up, but nothing sort of individual probably till next year again.
Where are you playing tomorrow?
I'm playing at Huddersfield Golf Club, which is called Fixby Hall, which is kind of where the clubhouse is. It's lovely, nice club. Particularly the drive into the golf club is lovely. Some of you will know it because James Robinson used to film a lot there. So he used to be one of the assistants there, now does a lot at Woolley Park, which isn't too far away from where we are here. But yeah, Fixby is a, and Gary Martin is there as well. So any of you that follow him on social media or watch his videos, you'll see him there as well. But yeah, the golf course is lovely. It's been there a long, long time. The drive into the club is beautiful. It's probably about half a mile down sort of tree lined driveway. And then it kind of opens out into the course. You drive sort of through the course a little bit, and then this really old, grand, kind of stately home is in front of you. That's the clubhouse. It's beautiful. Really, really nice.
Just having a look. Just having a look on their website. Yeah, it looks nice.
Looking forward to playing there tomorrow. So I've got three amateurs from Howley playing with me, sort of a regular group of guys that I play a lot of golf with who are good fun. So yeah, it should be decent. We just got to keep our fingers crossed for the weather, because today was absolutely awful up here for a while. So I'm guessing it's going to be quite wet. And it's one of those golf courses that it's quite up and down, quite undulating, really, and it can play very long if it's windy. So that should play into my hands, really. The longer, the better. But, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a test.
Well, good luck. Yeah, good luck tomorrow to you and your team.
Indeed. Indeed. That's about all we've got time for, Matt.
I think sometimes that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
I don't want to give people too much.
Exactly. Too much of a good thing.
Leave the fans wanting some more.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah.
It was funny. I'll tell you the story very quickly, right? So on the 14th hole yesterday at Felixstowe, you tee off, there's a Martello Tower it's like a listed building. And the tee box sits between the Martello Tower and like a walkway that's on the beach that, you know, public are walking up and down and their dogs, right? And it's literally like if you was in the wrong place, you could swing your club and literally hit people in the public. So times out of 10, people will stop as you're teeing off because they recognize that that's the right thing to do in the next golf course. Some people, not so much. But I'd just come off the back of a 2-putt birdie on the previous par 4. And there was about 4 or 5 people stood on the tee. They watched me tee off, watched this next person tee off, watched the next person tee, and got to the fourth person. And whilst he was putting his ball down, they all just turned around and started walking off. and it was, I don't know if it was one of them ones where he just had to be there, but it was just hilarious that it was almost like, yeah, they've seen enough. They can't be bothered to stand and watch me play.
You guys are awful. Yeah, see you later.
Yeah, it was funny. So I thought I'd share that little word.
We'll let you guys turn around and walk off and say goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening, as always. We'll speak to you very, very soon. And, yeah, keep watching, reading and listening to all of our content on the Golf Shake YouTube channel, the Golf Shake podcast and the Golf Shake website to help you play more and play better. We'll speak to you soon.